see you guys. I'm glad to see all that God is doing here. I would like them to play something for you. You can just play the whole thing, okay? I want you to watch. When I came here last, we were just at this stage of the building. And but I'll show you where it is now. So let me just sit and then let it pray. You will see Project Hope and see what we do. Much. Just wanted you to see what God has done so far in the last few months. That church will seat 1,000 people because it has up and down, and it's in Project Hope. I believe that one of these days my brother is going to come back to Nigeria. He has been in Nigeria, but he has not actually been to Project Hope. Project Hope is a place that we raise people, bring people off whatever they were in, young people, before the traffickers will see them. We put them in our facility for 2 years, feed them for free, train them for free, and then house them for free. While they are there, they learn how to make shoes, learn how to make clothes, learn how to bake and make all kinds of pastries, and learn how to make bags, purses. That is just what we are operating. But when we finish the project, it's going to be 19 different trades they can learn from. So I'm believing God that in my lifetime, I will see over 400 in that place one time learning at the same time. That's my vision. Because it's something that we have bought enough land to build that. He mentioned goat. I'm going to use it to teach us a little lesson. The power of restraint. Sometimes we consume quickly and then we miss some big things that happen. The power of restraint gratification. My son came home when I turned 74 years ago, and then our tradition is that he will go and see his in-laws. So he traveled to another state to see the in-laws. The tradition of the tribe is that when you have a visitor first who marry from your place, they will give a he-goat and 10 yams, not your kind of yam. Yams are sometimes up to this high. So give 10 of it to go to their father, just to tell me that my son came to their place. So they brought this goat, very, very fine goat, you know, would be good for food. But I thought about it. I said, no, let me keep it. So I ate the yams and took the goat to Project Hope and kept it there. After about a year or so, I was having a conference of pastors in Project Hope. So I said to them jokingly, hey, I need a wife. They said, what do you mean? I said, not for me, but for my goat. I need a wife for my goat. So, so when I said that, everybody laughed. But one guy said, don't worry, I'll send you one. So he sent me a female goat. Between two of them, there are now 17 goats. If I have eaten it that day, I wouldn't have what I have today. So sometimes God allows us to learn some lessons from the things that happen to us. My vision for that goat is to have up to about 100 goats in that place, and then have our native cows. And for me, it's exciting to see it happening, because I taught my church something that there's nothing you cannot do. You can actually do something to keep yourself. So I try to teach them, before I speak on Sunday, 30 minutes, I talk about business, talk about how I can venture. And it's like, Pastor, you don't even understand. I said, well, I'm going to show you it's true. Behind my office, I decided to ask them to put some ponds, surface pond, and I started raising fish. For 5 years, I've not bought fish. I raised my fish. And I said to them, it is possible. Everybody now said, Pastor, I want to do something. So they started raising their own fish. You can give me food. You can give me handout, but I'll come back again. But if you teach me how to get that food, and you teach me how to get the hand that you are giving to me, I won't come back to you anymore. So in other words, we need to empower people to become who God wants them to be. Amen? That is his appetizer. This evening, I'm going to talk about something. I remember one time I came and I spoke about distraction. I talked about it because it's something that actually takes the power from us. But today I'm going to talk about something different, which is the danger of spiritual ignorance. Because many times what kills us is not what happened around us. What kills us is what we don't know. Because if we know what God wants us to do and what we have and who we are, our outcome will be different. So I'm going to read from a scripture in the book of Genesis 28. I'm going to read from verse 10. But what I'm looking for is just one verse, but I'll read this story. Now Jacob went out of Beersheba and went to his Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had gone down. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamt, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached the heavens. And there the angel of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and your descendants. And your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in you and in all your seed, and in you and your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done that, what I have spoken to you. Therefore, Jacob awoke from the sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I do not know it. Father, thank you very much for this moment. I pray that you open our eyes and help us to see what you want us to know tonight. Challenge our hearts. Open our eyes. Help us to see who we are, what we are, and who is with us. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you look at Jacob, was a man running out because of the offense he has committed against his brother. But Jacob was a man carrying something that is so big, the promise of God, the grace of God. He was running out of the offense, and to him he was nobody, to him he has failed, and he ran into the field. The Bible says he got to a place, and all he could find to sleep was stone to put as a pillow. If you want to know how hard it is, try it. But he was there, And God opened his eyes to see this revelation, this dream of the ladder from up to down, and angels were there. Let me say to you, every one of us have a destiny that God has made for you to come into this earth. That is why there's no two of you. That's why you are the only one that exists in this earth. Even though you were born twins, you cannot be equally the same. God made it because he put a destiny for you. And angels were going up and down protecting that. And when he saw it, he heard the Lord said, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Jacob. And where you are, I'll give it to you. In other words, I have prepared this for you. But he was running out. And he came to that point where Jacob become like, what is this? He woke up out of it. The Lord has been here and I know it not. In other words, if Jacob knew what he has, Jacob knew who he was, and Jacob knew who is with him, he wouldn't have done what he did. Greatest problem we have today is ignorance. Ignorance of the things that happen around us spiritually. Everything that happened to us has a spiritual root. I'll repeat that. Everything that happened around us have a spiritual root. And sometimes we blame ourselves when God says, I am going to deliver you from something, and it caused a door to close or a door to open or people to see you or disappoint you. Every one of those things has a spiritual connotation. When things happen to me, I don't talk quickly. I pause, I think, and I wait to hear what God actually wanted me to do. Because in everything that happened to us, ignorance is one of the greatest things that the church has lacked today. We lack the knowledge of who God is, the knowledge of who we are, and the knowledge of what we have. So those lack of knowledge does two things to us. Number one, the lack of knowledge or awareness of the things around us in the realm of the spirit actually limit our potentials, destroys our ambitions, destroys what God, in my note here I say, it destroys, limits our faith and resolve. When we don't know what God is doing in the spirit, everything around us revolve on just our own natural mind. But when we wait on the Lord, we find out that everything that happened around us has something to do with the path we are following. But I want to play something to you. And that is Joseph. Joseph had a big dream, right? We all read it. God told him all the things that was going to happen and all the things in his life. But Joseph began that in the pit. He began that journey in the pit. His brothers took him and said, let us kill him and see what will become of his dream. If Jacob was ignorance, or Joseph was ignorance of the things God wanted to do, he would have given up. It was painful. But the Bible told us, and God was with him. Why? Because he refused to leave God, even though his circumstances were not good. He went into Egypt. God went with him. But my question is, why is it that God did not smack those people and bring them out? It's not time, it's a process. And he came into Egypt. The Bible says he was bought by a man, and then God began to bless the man. And even somebody who don't know God recognized there's something about this guy. And then he left everything in his house. And Jacob was tempted, he refused, and then he was not given chance to even defend himself. He ended up in jail for about 13 years. Now listen, in jail, the Bible says, and God was with him. Then in jail, he became the head of all the people there. The jailers actually gave him authority. Rule everybody, you are the guy. You control the people. Why? Because they recognized something was about in his life. And let me play back what I want to say to you. If Joseph was not put in the pit and sold by his brothers, he will not be in Egypt. If he wasn't in Egypt, he would not be in Potiphar's house. If he was not in Potiphar's house, he would not be tempted to be sent to the prison where the king's servant come. In other words, everything that happened to him was actually paving the way to the throne where God wants him to be. So whatever happens to you, sometimes pause, seek the face of God to find out whether this thing is from God or what is happening in the spirit. That is why everything that happened to you, you call upon God in your heart. While I was here, God showed me something, and I called somebody in Nigeria and said, there's an attack coming from my family at home, my extended family. I said, please join me in prayers. I was here just about a few days ago. And the very next day, they sent a report to me that one of my nephews went to my lot and cut down my coconuts. And when I heard it, I kept quiet. In other words, I now know that God knew what was going to happen before it happened. And what is it? And things began to unfold, and I began to say, God, why is this going on? This morning, he began to reveal to me, remember what was there before? Yeah. Now I have the key. The question is, if we lack the knowledge of what happened or what is happening in the spirit, we become vulnerable. Vulnerable to the attacks and the manipulations of our enemy. And when that happens, you feel defeated, you feel discouraged, you feel that nothing around you is working well. No, that's not how God works, because God says his everlasting arms are underneath you. In other words, he doesn't leave us. Even though our circumstances doesn't look good, God is still there. Daniel was in the lion's den, but God was still there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fire. God was there. But why did God not come before the fire? Lack of understanding. It becomes, when we have no knowledge of what God is doing around us and what the Spirit of God is doing around us, we lack the understanding of the working of the Spirit. And once that happens, you erupts you and limits you to the things that you're supposed to be doing or taking authority over. Amen? See, when your understanding of God is limited, you can't follow him. You can't walk with him. Because when your understanding of God is accurate and you are able to see, the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It's not book knowledge. It's not knowledge of just ordinary. Lack of what I'm doing. So, what is the danger? I'll give you 7 things that occur to you if you don't have the knowledge of what God is doing. Number one, the knowledge of who Christ is. Who you are in Christ is the first thing every child of God should realize. I'm going to read a series of scriptures. Jacob was ignorant of who he was, who he really was, and that was why he was running away and all the bad things are happening in his life. Spiritual ignorance will limit your ability to deploy your potentials. Your potentials will not be deployed when you lack the understanding of what God did in your life. You know, somebody asked me a question. I think he was somewhere in Arizona. A very, very dynamic man, and he said, but Thomas, I want to ask you a question. I know that 90-95% of your friends are all whites. I said, don't you feel odd among them? I said, listen, you are just reminding me I have different color. Why? Because I know who I am. Anywhere I enter, the first thing that happened to me is who I am in this place. No matter what degree of things or people that are there, what guides me is what I know about who I am in Christ. Anywhere you go, if you lack that knowledge, you always feel inferior. You always feel as if you are defeated. Because spiritual ignorance will limit your ability to deploy who you are. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, I'll read. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. How many blessings? Are we getting all? Are we enjoying all? Are we seeing all? But why? Because we don't know what the all is. Go to the scripture and see. Every detail of what we need in life is right here. He has given it to us in the heavenly places. One of the things is that you are not condemned. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to anyone who is in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I love this. For the law of the Spirit of life have set me free from the law of sin and death. In other words, there's a law guiding sin and there's a law guiding death. But when I enter into Christ and become a child of God, I am delivered from that condemnation and delivered from that place. Colossians said, I'm translated from the kingdom of darkness and placed into the kingdom of light. In other words, I'm not operating like every other human being. I have a higher realm of authority in Christ. And if we look at that, Ephesians, I love this one. Ephesians 2:10 is what it said. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. He prepared it before you that you should walk in them. In other words, if you don't know who you are, you can't walk in the authority you have. So that is something we need to see. Colossians chapter 2, 9 and 10. Look at what he said. For in him dwells all the fullness of Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. You are complete in him. I mean, being complete in Christ means that you are completely in his hand, guided by his Spirit and with his authority. In Africa, if a king sends you on errand, you walk like a king. And you are protected by the king. If anybody attack you on the way, it's not attacking you, it's attacking the king. Because the king sent you an errand. There's someone we call town crier. You don't have town criers here. But town crier is that they take a message from the king and go around the town with a gong and tell them what the king says. And everybody pay attention because they know it's the town crier. You are God's town crier. He sent you on a message on the earth. And every power and every authority that he has is deployed into your life because he sent you a message. But we are not doing that. That's why in Nigeria, in the northern part of my country, if you are going to church, we are not sure you are coming back because you can be killed. But they are still strong and very, very effective. Because they know who they are. So I want to say to us that if we have knowledge of who we are, first, our attitude towards God will be different. Our approach towards God is different. And what we say about ourselves will be different. The second thing, ignorance of what happened around us. When we have that lack of understanding of what happened around us, we cannot actually deploy the power of prayer. Because the power of prayer is given to us to combat whatsoever that happens around us. That's why God says, you have not asked anything before in my name, but if you ask anything, you will receive it. In other words, I give you channel to talk to me when you meet something that is difficult. So that if you are ignorant of how the Spirit of God works, you will not be able to pray effectively. In other words, your prayer will just be like reading something. Because prayer is not supposed to be that. Prayer is supposed to be you entering into the presence of God and allowing the power of God to flow in your life. So there's a danger of us not understanding who we are and what we have. If we don't understand that, it becomes something that creates a barrier between us and the victory we sought. Let me say this. You can't confront the powers of darkness without knowing where you are. Seven sons of Sceva. You remember? come out from this man in the name of the Jesus that Paul preached. And the guy pounced on them. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? Because they don't know who they are. They wanted to imitate what Paul was doing. Paul was not doing it because he just wanted to. He's doing it because that's his authority. So if you don't know your authority, you can't combat the things that happen to you. Ignorant of what happens to the kingdom of darkness. If we don't know, when we kneel down to pray what happened to the kingdom of darkness, we can't actually enjoy prayer. Do you know, anytime you kneel down, immediately call the attention of heaven. There's a notification that a child of God is kneeling down. And when you begin to pray, the kingdom of darkness knows exactly what you're doing. When you are saying, in the name of Jesus, I bind every power that is around me, you are actually deploying your heavenly authority against the forces around you. And once you're able to do that, you find out that you walk in victory, not in defeat. You walk in authority, walk in assurance, because you know what God has said about you. Whenever you need that, you bring light into an atmosphere that has no light. And that is the kingdom of darkness. The greatest power we have is the light of God that is within us. Wherever we go, the power of God flows upon our lives and show the light. That light dazzles the enemy. That light limits the enemy and bring it down. But when we are ignorant of it, we can't pray well. We can't pray well. Number four, I said this. Ignorant of what happened when we fellowship with one another. There is power in meeting with one another. Anytime you come into fellowship, you are doing two things. You know, when you have a fireplace, right? Now they have a lot of artificial fireplace where you just have gas and they look like wood. But when they are using wood, right? Whenever the wood comes together, the fire becomes high. Now, whenever you come to fellowship, the devil will do everything to make sure that you don't fellowship with people. Isolation is one of these weapons against believers. To isolate yourself from any other person, to make sure you are not fellowship with people. But when you are fellowshipping with people, the power of God fills your life. You ignite others, you lighten others, you make others know exactly what God has done in your life. Because that fellowship ignites the grace of God upon each and one of us. See, anytime we talk, he doesn't know. I learned from him. Last year, I followed him to his job. I wanted to see the first trip. I tell you, I prayed all the prayer I can pray. He didn't know that. You know why? I made a mistake and I looked down. When I looked down, I said, oh Lord. But I look at him. He was so confident doing that thing and that long thing. He was just, so I asked him, what of in the snow? He said, I still come here. How? The confidence was so strong that the one that blew my mind is the one when the last one, where they have to connect this long, I don't know what you call that, a low bed or something. And then he had to carry the big thing to climb the mountain. What? The confidence he has, I don't think I have it. But you know what? When we came the second trip, I didn't look and I didn't feel worried. Sometimes what you see distracts you from who you are, distracts you from what you have, distracts you from who is with you. My confidence is going there, is on him. He knows what to do. Right? And he was so confident doing it because if he had started panicking, then imagine what would happen to me. But our going together, talking together, gave me the confidence to come back the second time and the third time. Why? Because of our fellowship. Number four and number five. Ignorant of what happened when we use our gifts. You know, many times God gives you a gift,
might be sweeping the floor. You want to be at the pulpit because you do not know the importance of that thing God asks you to do. The Bible says He gives to all according to our abilities. So when you deploy your gift in wherever God has put you, there is no way the blessings of God will not come to you. The same blessing that comes to the preacher who is faithful at the pulpit is the same thing that comes to the person who is washing the toilet. The same blessing, because it's the same God. But when you don't use your talent, you're actually robbing yourself. You see those guys up there? I don't know how they do what they do. Lindsay today just took some of these things and put it together and put music. There's no way I can learn that. That's not my calling. But where I'm called, if you ask me to go anywhere, I will go. Why? Because that is where my power is. Your gifts is given to you for three reasons. Number one, to bless the church of Jesus Christ. Edify the church of Jesus Christ. Even though you are sweeping the floor, even though you are cleaning dishes, you are actually defying the body of Christ. Two, to bless you as a person. The more you are active in your gift, the more God adds gift to you. Let me demonstrate something. If I put my hand this way, and God put a little book into my hand, He wants me to hold it. That's my gift. If I'm faithful in using it, He does not remove that gift, but He adds to it. He will keep adding to the book, and then looking at your stability, one day He will say, come and do this. Because you have built your ability right there. Your gifts, if you are ignorant of what it does in your life, you will not use it. I will not leave my family for 2 months or so if I don't know the blessing of it. For actually 51 years, I left my business, and 51 years I've been in full time, and then preaching from village to village, from town to town, and finding new opportunities every time to serve God. Why? Because I know that's my calling. And I know that's what God wants me to do. And that is where my blessing is. Number three is to actually serve God. You are serving your brethren. You are serving yourself. You are serving God. And there is a blessing in serving God, a blessing in serving yourself, and a blessing in serving your brethren. Let me tell you, recently I just find a new way of evangelism. You know what it is? Get doctors to the village. Get medicines, get doctors, get to the village. I just did it just about a month ago. And I was shocked at the number of people that came without flyer. They all came out. They heard doctors are here treating people, and they come here. They will hear the gospel and then be treated and be told what is going on with them. God will heal those who heal, and then those who are, you know, able to see the doctor. I brought 6 doctors and about 8 nurses for 4 days. They treated 646 on record. And I said to myself, some of these people would have died without this. One of that got collapsed right there because his blood pressure was about 200 and something, 240 something. Understand that the gift God gave to you was for the edification of the church, word of upliftment of your life, and service to the kingdom. So whenever you are doing, even though nobody say thank you, do it faithfully. Because ignorant of that will rob you of the great blessing that is hidden inside that. Every opportunity God gives to you starts with a responsibility. I can tell you that. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you will not be saved. That's a responsibility. You go first to believe in God, and salvation follows. And then you find out everything you do, God expects you to know that He has something in mind. Your gift to the kingdom. Every one of us serve one. If we actually deploy what who we are, you discover that sometimes something is happening to a brother, you wouldn't know, but you are in your house praying for him. Because we are all connected. You are praying for him. And as you are praying for him, God is answering the prayers. Amen? Number six is, what happened when a child of God is offended? When you offend a child of God. The Bible said, if you offend these little ones, it's better for you to tie big rock on your neck and be drawn into the ocean. Because they don't fight for themselves, but God fights for them. Let me say this to you. I've had several attacks. It's still coming, day after day. But each time it happened, God lifted me to a new level of understanding of who he is. Have you ever sometimes prayed for conflict? Have you ever asked God sometimes to take you through the rough road? Sometimes we don't. We can't. But God will take us through the through the rough road, whether we like it or not. When you are going through that rough road, let me tell you this, it hurts. It's confusing. And sometimes it's painful. But those rough roads are like going through the valley when you're on cell phone. What happened to you? The service will cut off. You don't hear nothing anymore. And then you find out it becomes so difficult to communicate with anybody. You are in a mess. But out of that, that is where you find some things that you cannot find anywhere. Number one, characters are built in that darkness. Two, faith is elevated in that situation. Number three, resilience is built when you go through difficulties. All right? Now, the problem is you can't get those things without going through a difficult moment. It can't come. It's only when you are able to see that whatever happened to you today has something to do with your tomorrow, you will not be able to put yourself in the right place where God will begin to actually pour into your life. This year, God said to us that what he wants us to do is a supernatural advancement. Advance on where you are. I'll be speaking on that on Sunday. And there are principles to do that. Sometimes we just sit and then, when I was here in the conference, God spoke to me straight and I recorded something. It started today. All my churches, I told them, this is what I want you to do. This is what God said to me to do. And my pastor, while I was here, my pastor sent me the report. Yes, it started today. This is what has happened. That's what I was watching. Sometimes in your life, you need to understand that when you are offended by someone, God is about to do something in your life. Your attitude towards the offense is what makes it either painful or joyful. It's not the offense. It's your own attitude, the way you take it. If somebody insults you, take for example somebody with a bad attitude, say, don't be stupid. What do you expect? You get angry. No. In the right attitude is thank you. Because it's a good advice. Is that not? Somebody said don't be stupid. He's actually giving you a good advice. I thank him. But that is that the way we react to it? No. I was driving and all of a sudden somebody crossed me in Nigeria. It's crazy. When you are driving, you have to be careful. You are praying all the time because you don't know what the next person is going to do. This guy came in my front and I hit on my brake and I was thanking God I didn't smash into him. You know what? He said, are you crazy? Inside my spirit, I just had a voice. He asked you a question. I said no. So he thought I didn't hear. In my country, when you say you are mad, is the extreme end of insanity. Are you mad? I said no. So he started laughing. He didn't mean to laugh. You mean to pick a fight. But I saw differently that that thing was not an abuse. It was his attitude that is making it look bad. But my reaction is no. My own brother went, my elder brother, born of another woman, went to slap my mother. He has been looking for me how to actually, you know, get me to be angry. And in order to do it, he went and, slapped my mother. I had it, and I said to them, tell my mother to calm down. It's not actually looking for you, it's looking for me. Well, he waited. I brought my children to come and see my dad. He came down from outside and said, did you hear that I slapped your mother? In the presence of my father. I said, yeah. He said, you didn't do anything. I said, no. See, if I were you, I'll go to the police. I said, I don't go to the police because we are not in the same kingdom. You are in a different kingdom, I'm in a different kingdom, so we don't act like that. To him, it's like, so he is not going to do anything. So he was walking away. I said, hey, come. So he came back. I said, listen to what I'm going to tell you. The Bible said the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, right? So I said, listen to what I'm going to tell you. You see, this woman is my mother. The next time your body, either consciously or by mistake, come in contact with her, and I put this parable, you will know that the chicken that has ring is owned by somebody. Chickens don't wear ring, right? But if I want to remark what my chicken is, I'll put ring on the leg. So if you go outside and somebody take it, I say, let me see. Oh, that's my ring, right? I said, don't do it. He knew exactly what I deployed spiritually. For that word, I have given him a spiritual boundary. Don't cross here. Right? Until he died, he never, if my mother is coming, he will give chance. Why? Because spiritually he knew exactly what I've deployed. If he did touch my mother, I was not going to say anything. But he will get a percussion right away. Because I've set a boundary. Spiritually. And because he's doing it spiritually, he understands. There are times if you understand who you are, what your power is, and what the authority you have is, you will put a band on something and then know that it's not going to happen. What just happened in my village, I have gone to God and I told God, reverse it in their head. That's all. Because what it is actually to steer me up. Better reverse it. And my younger sister wrote to me and told me all the things this morning. She said, look, I want you to be careful about it. I said, don't worry about it. God have taken care of it. Simple. Why? Because I know when I'm offended by someone, there's no way God will not react. Because he said to Abraham, go. Anyone that curse you, I curse them, not you. Anyone that fight you, I'll fight them, not you. You remember he said to them, this battle is not yours. This battle belongs to me, so don't fight. That's why I don't curse anybody. Why? Why will I curse somebody? The Bible says, pray for those who despitefully use you, pray and curse not. So I don't need to. But if you want to attack me, you are writing your own warrant. I don't need to fight you. But I just report it to my headquarters. That's all. And leave you in the hand of God. I've seen that happen again and again and again. Be careful how you treat others. Because how you treat others will either elevate you or bring you down. Because if you treat people as a child of God, I don't care what you've done. Somebody wrote me, I can read it to you. Last Easter Monday last year, I have to let him go because he was so rude and was abusing everybody. So I asked him a question. How old are you? He said 43. I said, all the years of your life is not up to the years I've been a pastor. At that time, I was 50 years as a pastor. And secondly, my first daughter is older than you. And you are opening your mind the way you are. This toxic in your heart, go and fix it. Let him go. And pay him extra money. A year later, he wrote me a letter. He's waiting for me to return. He wants to come because he has discovered that there's no way he can go forward until he say, I'm sorry. I said, but that day was the day I forgive you. Because if I don't forgive you that day, I can't pray. If you know what you have, you don't keep toxic in your heart. You don't keep hatred in you. You don't keep malice in your heart. Sometimes, you know, husband and wife, you have conflicts. So when my wife says some things that crosses the boundary, I say, let me pray for you. She knows what that means. Let me pray for you. She will just need, I pray for her and I walk away. Because I told her, you are married to two people. Thomas, your husband, and Thomas, the man of God. You can do anything with Thomas, your husband, but not Thomas, the man of God. So when you cross that boundary, I say, Nida, I pray for you. I pray for her and just walk away. Because that moment is not in my hand anymore. It's in God's hand. So when people come, when this guy now come and find out I didn't do anything, he went further. Then there was a natural, you know, retribution to him. The wind blew off his roof. And he's living directly on top of my mother's room. And flood came into his room. You know what he did? He took a chisel and a hammer and chiseled the decking through so that the water comes into my mother's room. What was he looking for? Me. So they told me, I said, okay, just crack that place, put a funnel on it, and then put the pipe outside. So after a few days, he came down to look if actually that thing went through and saw what was there. You know what? When he was dying, the very moment, I didn't know he was sick, but we were having fasting and prayer, and I began to cry unto God. I came down as from the altar, and I knelt down like every other person knelt down, crying unto God, not to let him die until he know Christ. I didn't know he was sick. But let me tell you what happened. He died. According to what they told me, he said he saw two doors. So he decided to go through one door. That as he was approaching the door, the heat was so bad that he couldn't stand it, and he ran back. When he ran back, he opened his eyes. And he began to beg, please, I don't want to go there. Please, everybody I've offended, forgive me. I don't want to go into that place. Please forgive me. He made amends, told them what to burn, what books to burn, things to do. After about 3 weeks, he died. God answered my prayer. Even though he has done me so much bad, but his soul was saved. The question is, how do you use the power you have as a believer? Do you know the importance of who you are in the life of others around you? Ignorance of what happens when a child of God speaks prophetically is something that actually many of us don't know. Sometimes you go and meet your pastor, and he will say a word. Out of everything I said, one word just can, bam. It's like a command or an instruction. Out of all the discussion, if you are not careful, you will miss it. Because that's the message. Or you go to a brother, or God says something to you, and you speak it out. You don't know what happened. All the angels of heaven attend to that thing and make sure it happens. That's why when we're ignorant of it, when God puts something in our mouth, we'll be afraid to say it because we don't know what it is. That is not just for people to come out and say, I'm prophesying, you know, talking what is in your head. No. When a word comes from God, it comes from God direct. So every child of God must make sure you know these things. If you don't know them, you limit your own ability to function as a child of God. When I lay my hands on somebody, I believe that my hand doesn't touch the person. It's God's hand that touched the person. Because he walks through me. He walks through what I say. There's a church in California, David. They had this small place. And then I have been preaching there. I was their first missionary that began to sponsor. You know, that day I finished preaching and I was going out. I stood at the door. I looked at him. I said, Pastor David, the rain is coming. He said, I received that. I received that. The church was not like this. The rain is coming. So I left. In that trip, all of a sudden, I saw a house by the place, and they decided to take that house on rent. Boom. God began to do something. He called me and said, something is happening. We just got a new place, and people are coming. I said, the rain is coming. Today, where he is huge. And people are flocking. And God sent him to specific people who have gone to prison, who have been in gangs, who have, if you come to the church, you see a lot of these people with tattoos, but they are all worshiping God. Why? He was faithful to what God sent him to do. He knows exactly what it is. If you go there, sometimes you'll be scared, right? But he enjoys it. I now enjoy everyone because I know what God can do in our life. Jacob said, and the Lord has been here, and I know it not. So many times in our lives, we miss the move of God because we're ignorant of how he works. It's time for us to begin to ask ourselves the question, how deep is my relationship with God? How strong is my time of fellowship with God? How strong is my time of scripture, reading the scripture? How strong is it? Because if Jacob knew he carries all this thing, God said to him, I will not leave you until I bring these things to pass. But he was running empty. Did he come back empty? No. He came back with so many riches. Why? Because God was there with him. At the point where he saw that revelation, he knew nothing about God. So if you are a child of God, let me just say something to you. Stop looking down on who you are. See yourself as agent of heaven. See yourself as a child of the King. See yourself as someone who is sent by the power of God. And wherever he sent you, speak his word, live his life, and you will find out some things in your heart will keep popping out the glory of God every day. It's important for you to stop looking down yourself. Second, stop speaking problems. Use your mouth to create solutions. Because each time you speak problems, you increase the problems. But when you speak positive, and I don't mean this kind of positive thing people talk about. I mean, you speak what you want to see. My pastors, this is the principle. Don't bring problem to me, bring solution to me. Deal with the problem. Tell me what God wanted to do, and that's what I help you to do. I don't want to help you to think about your negativity. No. Find God and let's find out the solution. When you bring the solution, I'll help you solve it. So many times we speak down on ourselves. Have you ever sometimes look in the mirror and say, how I wish I'm as beautiful as the other person. How I wish I have what the other person have. No. Appreciate who you are. Appreciate what you have. Appreciate who is with you. Do you know how I react to the devil when he make me feel like nothing? You want me to tell you? When you have that feeling of, you know, you are down, the feeling of nothing, you feeling of failure, this is what I do. I go put on my best dress and then walk towards the mirror majestically and say, Thomas, you are handsome. I call myself my name and watch myself tell myself I am handsome. And you know what that does to the devil? He gets angry. Because I don't care what you say. I know what God says I am. When he created me and finished, he said, I was good. And if I'm good, the devil can make me bad. Oh, you remember you were a drug addict before, you were this before. Yeah, that is before. But I've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. I don't have that anymore. That's no more my identity. And I just tell him my identity was on the cross. I gave my life to Christ, and all my pain, all my failures have been taken away. And everything you see today is a process and not a failure. Stop speaking problems. Use your mouth to create solutions. Every time you see cloud on the road, look beyond the cloud and see the smile of the one who holds your life. Because clouds of fog doesn't last. When the cloud is on the road, when the sun rises, what happens? It evaporates. But that cloud can stop you from seeing things. Understand that when you keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, that is a path towards the fog. And then you'll be able to come out the other side, say, no matter how bad the fog was, I am here. Look beyond your problem. Look beyond your circumstance and see what he said about you. I'm not denying the fact that sometimes you make mistakes or sometimes you stumble. But what I'm saying is that when you stumble, get up and go. This side is not negotiable. This side is ever. I will keep pushing no matter what. I listened to a pastor in Houston one time, and he said, when you fall, don't rush to get up. Lie down there and ask yourself, why did I fall? What happened? So when you're able to get to what happened, you can get up and now know that you won't fall again. But see, if you get up quickly so that nobody sees you fall, you will still fall. It happened to me in New York. I came to New York in February with dress shoes, with snow everywhere. So I came out, wear dress, and we're going out. Bang! I was on the floor. My friend kept quiet. I got up quickly, braced it, take the next step, bang! He said, welcome to New York. You don't wear that at this time. So I went inside to change my shoe. That is an experience that I can't do it again, right? If when I fell, I asked him, what happened? He would say, don't use that shoe. But I was trying to tell him I was a guy. Realize that who holds you never fails. So no matter what happened to you, forgive yourself and walk with him. Because each time that happened, you will find out that, you know, when obstacles come, he makes your speed faster. Have you ever stumbled into something? You don't stumble and just, you stumble and jump. So stumbling blocks are not made to stop you. In my view, it's made to accelerate your speed. But the way you view it is what affects the way you react to it. Stop looking at the things you have. Look at the victory ahead of you. Lastly, I say, see every challenge as an opportunity. Opportunity to experience God's power. Opportunity to know who God is. When Jacob ran away, he was so frustrated. He was so afraid. He was like, no plan, nothing. But God said, hey, I have a plan for you. Even though you're a bad guy, I still have a plan for you. But I tell you, where you are going to, I'm going to hold you. I'm not going to let you fail. I will hold you until you come back, and everything I have in mind, I will do it in your life. That was God swearing to him, telling him. And that's the confidence that carried him. All the journey and all the thing he experienced, his mind never get off that. But you know what? When the riches came, when all the good thing came, and he said to his people, let's go back to where I met God. Did they go? No. They stopped somewhere and settled. To him, it's like, okay, I have left there, so I'm comfortable here. And you know what happened to the daughter? Never you allow anything to stop your relationship with God. Whatever happens to you, whatever experience you have, see it as a part of the process of God training you and building your faith and directing your course. Because if you take every challenge as an opportunity, you will always, every challenge has opportunity inside. Let me give you one. The whole world was talking of climate change, right? Climate change everywhere. Nobody is doing anything. One guy just, okay, let me make electric cars, right? And then everybody start buying electric cars. But he didn't tell you that if the car is flooded, it's going to actually cause power. It's going to cause problem. And people have bought, he has made money, and now they're having problems, right? But the question I ask you is this. What do you see? Everything the enemy used to confront you, behind it is God's will, because God is trying to do something for you, and this enemy is coming to stand between you and that victory. Look behind him and see that God has something in store in your life. Don't let anything stop you. So I will say this. You are a child of God. You are powered by God. You have God in the journey. You are never alone. You know what he said? I will not leave you nor forsake you. And if God says so, he means it. When you walk through the waters, I'll be there. It will not overflow you. Through the fires, it will not burn you. Ah, somebody said, but that's too much. Has he done it before? Sure he has. Children of Israel passed through the waters. He didn't kill them. He was fearful, but he didn't kill them. Then the people who went through the fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't die. God was in fire with them, because he never leaves his own. But sometimes we are hit by the enemy and we wake up and say, ah, the Lord has been here and I know it not. May that not be your testimony. May that be something that will awaken you every time you find challenges. It awakens you to the consciousness of who is with you. Because who is with you never fails. You can sleep, but it doesn't. Say, he that watcheth Israel neither sleep nor slumber. In other words, is constant, is consistent, his power is ever present. And David said it, that he is the Lord who is ever present in trouble. In other words, God expects that you have some trouble sometimes, but he's ever present. He will never leave you. I pray that that will be something that you begin to look at today, of who you are, what you have, and who is with you. Once you know that, Christianity becomes an enjoyment in the presence of God. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for this moment. Lord, I pray that you give us the revelation of who you are, the revelation of who we are. Even as Jacob said, the Lord has been here, and I know it not. Lord, I pray that there will be the consciousness of your presence in our lives. That when we go out, we know you are going with us. When we are at home, we know you are with us. That in any way, no matter the situation we face, you never fail. Lord, I commit tonight into your hand and everyone here that our hearts will be open to you. Challenge us to the things, oh God, you want us to do in using our gifts, to know that you are expecting us to deploy our potentials. Lord, I ask you that your Holy Spirit will breathe upon us and let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Is that good? Yeah. Amen. Well, guys, get on the phone and call somebody and invite them to men's night on Friday. And we will have a grand time. Ladies, tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, and nothing on Saturday. Oh, we're having a potluck at my house. 1 o'clock, my house. Anyway, yeah, let's pray. Father, I thank you for this, and I thank you for the word that Brother Thomas has brought. Lord, we're grateful for that. Lord, we thank you that your word challenges us. Lord, help us to receive from you And may it change us and challenge us. And God, may we be better for it. May we know who we are in you. And Lord, I thank you for it. We look forward to Sunday and Friday. And God, we ask you to just have your way in everything that is said and done in Jesus' name.